Yeah. We are going to do all of this. I think we have enough for one episode, don't you?
Yeah, yeah.
I think so.
I'm just thinking if I want to bust out something during the music.
Okay. You're going to do the run up, right?
Sure. Sure.
All right.
Oh, wow. It started. All right. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. No, I don't want to say ladies and gentlemen. I want to be more inclusive. Hello, Reef Peeps.
Hey,
that's
guys.
Too inclusive.
Yeah, it's another episode of Skimmate with Rich and Terrence.
Today we're going to be talking about a bunch of stuff, including bryopsis, wood, aquashella, keeping aquariums, and dead fish pictures.
Yeah. What everybody wants to hear on a podcast about aquariums is dead fish, right? I'm sure.
That's why we do this podcast.
Yeah.
We don't do the podcast everyone would do. We have this dumb podcast we do.
We have the podcast named after fish poop.
Is it real? We could
process fish poop.
Process scum.
Yeah, exactly. So he's going to argue the point of whether or not
it's poop,
whether or not it's poop in a skimmer.
Because I am nothing if not pedantic.
Well, Rich, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah,
I'm doing pretty good.
We're now rolling into fall, out of summer. You're out doing kiting and
The kite season is over, but it's still going on. We're getting a lot of late wind, so it's kind of fantastic.
Okay.
It's been fabulous to have all this extra time.
I hate when I have late wind.
Do you?
Yes.
See, now you took something beautiful and made it gastric.
All right. So what are we going to talk about? Our own tanks first? That's what we usually do, right?
There's a list in front of you. You could just read it.
I know. Well, I have to tell you, the last time we spoke, I was lamenting greatly the arrival of a lot of algaes in my tank.
Yeah, that's true. It looked so bad.
Well, thank you for that.
I think I said on the podcast that it looked pretty good, but I was just lying.
I know. Well, it, you know.
Just like you do when you walked in, you didn't even say anything. You didn't say, wow, what a fantastic tank, Rich. You said, just let's do this. I'm late and hungry.
Your head's big enough. I have, it's bad when your wife comes up and says, what's all these stringy things hanging off of all the corals?
Yeah, that's bad.
And so I had that, and I had a whole outbreak of the dreaded, feathery stuff?
Bryopsis.
Bryopsis. I had the dreaded outbreak of bryopsis. It had expanded out and more, and I had been thinking about doing this medical treatment to the tank using something that I found out afterward is for yeast infections. Did you know this?
Sure.
I did not know this.
Sure. No, I haven't had a need
for
it, so I haven't really looked for it.
Evidently, it's
yeast infections in people.
Oh, that too. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, yes. Yeah. It's called flucosinol, and it comes in a variety of different brands. They have this. Some of them are still in the pill form.
Some are suppository.
Yeah. Have not yet tried that yet.
Yes, you have. You know you have. Don't lie to the good people.
So I did have some flucosinol on hand, so I had it for...
on hand, as it were.
So anyway, I figured, okay, maybe this is the first time I am going to start adding some magic potion to my tank, because I'm not big in those kinds of things, right? I'm not big into just, oh yeah, try this because so-and-so said so and it's going to kill such and such.
Well, it seems a little more than that to me at this point. It's like, so when people ask me about that, I always think about Dustin Dorton's red bug treatment, right? And that was, if you read that original thing, he did real work to check it out
to see if
it worked. It was very, very compelling.
Right.
Evidence he gave.
That was like 2007, 2008, something like that.
Yeah, and then it works.
Right.
It seemed like when I looked into this one that there had been quite a bit of work done.
Yeah, I some of the posts and stuff I read up on, and then, you know, you hear enough people whose husbandry you respect. You look at their tanks, and you're like, okay, your tank looks good. You said you did three of these treatments. It's been a year since you've done the treatments. Life is still good for you. You didn't complain about any side effects. So I'm like, okay, I'm thinking this is going to work. So I went ahead and spoke to Eric Cohen from Blue Life USA at MACNA. Okay.
Okay.
And he has some of the stuff. Okay. So he hooked me up with a vial. It looked like something out of the 80s.
Yeah.
And he sent me off two of those, and I mixed it up according to the instructions, and I put it in. And to be honest, I didn't really have like a whole lot of hope for it because I'm used to these kinds of things. But sure enough, in one day, you started to see like white things on the ends of the little feathers of this. And the next day, a little more white things, and the next day. And so I took progressive pictures of the same exact spot. Hopefully, if somebody helps out with the website, maybe I'll give you those pictures and put them up there.
Hopefully.
For the good folks out there to see.
I don't know why you're looking at me.
But so it just, I mean, about 4 or 5 days into it, it was almost completely gone. And after about 9 or 10 days, it had disappeared completely.
The Bryopsis or the other stuff?
So the other stuff is the one where the things I've read says it's kind of a side effect. In other words, it will reduce it, but it won't completely annihilate it, per se. And the stuff I had wasn't like the really nice, pretty, long strings of green algae. It was this mucky, gross stuff that kind of grows under the rocks.
Yeah. How long till the Bryopsis was gone?
Gone in about a week.
In about a week?
Yes.
And do you have to turn off your skimmer and run carbon?
Very good point.
And put, you know, cobalt 60 in your tank?
Yeah. So you do have to turn off your skimmer. They say not to, they can just let it bubble over, right? So you can still get the same aeration in your skimmer. A sidebar on that in a second. And then, turn off your carbon. And then sequester your macroalgae is probably not a bad idea.
Right.
Because if you're killing something that's killing algae, it may have some effect on your macroalgae.
Yeah, somebody told me, who was telling me that they killed off their algae? Dwayne.
Oh, yeah?
Dwayne.
So I don't know. I've put a little bit of it back. It hasn't really started bouncing back yet, the macroalgae, but we'll find out. What's so funny?
Dwayne, because his last name is unpronounceable.
Okay.
He will now, we'll just refer to him as Dwayne. We'll make him like Sting.
Okay. All right. I know who Dwayne. You're talking about.
From Seattle.
What's funny, the sidebar thing was I turned off my skimmer because I'm like, I'm supposed to turn off the skimmer. And I'm like, it'll be fine, right? I woke up the next morning and I look at my, in the morning, you wake up, I look at my Apex on my phone and my pH is like 7.8.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, my pH even overnight doesn't drop below 8. I'm like, Oh my God, what's going on? And I'm like, that's right.
Oh, I turned off my
skimmer. So I went down, flipped the skimmer back on, and it goes right back up. So the other hair algae did abate. It did go away probably 90-95%. Now, the things I have read is that it will come back where the Bryopsis won't necessarily come back, but the green hair algae or the gross hair algae or whatever it was will continue to come back unless you have a regimen of dosing flucosinol ongoing. But then I won't have macroalgae, so I don't know.
Okay. Yeah, so we'll see how that goes.
But Nancy today said, oh, my God, the tank looks so great. All that gross stuff isn't all around the tank
That's
anymore.
Good.
This is amazing.
It's
Isn't
really
awesome?
Good not to have gross stuff.
Yeah.
It's really good.
So it's a winner for me. I don't see any negative effects yet.
Negative if it has to be ongoing.
Well, I think it's negative if you want the green hair that green hair algae to go away. I think the reason that showed up was because of some other things that happened in my tank. I'm hoping it won't come back again in force. But I think for the Bryopsis, which, as you know, 10 years ago was the end all in your tank if you had Bryopsis. It was like everybody's like, dose Kent this and magnesium that, and this stuff just works.
Yeah. So what herbivores fish do you have? Herbivorous fish do you have in your system, in your tank?
Fishes?
I don't care about your system.
I have...
Fishes, fish, whatever.
I know. I always laugh, though, when I see that, when somebody gets it right, because it looks wrong.
Right. Okay, so we should mention, fish is the plural of one species of fish.
Right.
Fishes is the plural of multiple species of fish.
Julian always, of course, gets it right in his presentations, and I laugh every time I see it come up,
it's
or he says
thing.
It because it just sounds funny.
Yeah, and then octopus and octopuses does not work the same way.
Okay.
Not at all, which is a shame.
Anyway, back to what I have in the tank. I have, I have things like lawnmower blenny. Of course, I have tangs in the tank. What do they do? I don't know much on that.
You have rabbit fish?
I do not have a rabbit. I did, but my powder blue tang sent baby to the corner.
Yeah.
And took care of him.
All right, I have two rabbit fish because I find that rabbit fish not a sure thing by any means. No biological control is. Not even sharks. They won't always eat the person you're trying to get rid of. they're often, sometimes, once in a while. Did I hedge that enough? 62% of the time, they'll eat Bryopsis if it's small, or they'll eat...
Really?
Yeah, I it's not 62%, it's hit or miss. But you see, I have two in here because sometimes they'll eat a bubble algae and sometimes they'll eat Bryopsis. And I think the deal with it is to knock it back so they graze it down before they even know it's there.
Right.
So if you were to add one, I would suggest now would be the time to add that kind of fish.
Okay. Good.
And then watch them because sometimes they decide to eat zoas or
I had one
skin.
Of the, was it Magnificent Foxface?
Yeah, mine's in here somewhere.
That's a rabbit fish, right?
Yeah.
That's what I thought.
Yeah, yeah, fox face rabbit fish.
And then there's that other fish, too. We talk about knocking it back and then letting them keep it away. The other one I have in there, too, they're mostly really good for nano tanks, not so much in a big tank like mine. What's the little...
Rainford's Goby?
Yeah, that's it.
Rainfordia?
Yeah.
Available from Biota.
Oh, okay.
Captive bred.
Who is not supporting the show, by the way? Financially.
No one's... Oh,
I know.
Oh, I'm sorry. No one's supporting
the show. But
the
way you said it, it was like
that was my thing. Tom Bowling's should give us money.
But I have a couple of those in the tank too, and they help out. So
they're cool fish.
Yes,
they're cool fish.
They definitely are.
You know, I was going to talk about something in another episode, but I think this is a good time to talk about
okay.
it. Because one of the things that people often recommend for algae is to feed the tank less.
Yeah,
and that always. Oh, good. You made a quizzical face, which made me. Feel that you might agree with me on this one.
Yeah, I don't want to agree sometimes with you, but but in this case, maybe not exactly for the same reasons do I agree. I don't like these knee-jerk reactions that I see online all the time, right? It's almost like they read the book of reactions for whatever the thing was that somebody asked.
Right.
And it's like, oh, have algae. Oh, feed less, you know?
That's exactly my point.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was trying to address. I started a thread about it somewhere, and but people, it's interesting. They want to talk about everything else,
right?
I'm so fascinated by the reefing social media right now.
The whole psychology of all of that is definitely interesting. But the
the people who I think it's crazy. I think you can't not feed the baby because you don't want to deal
right,
with
diapers. Right, I love that. I did read that in the post. It was pretty funny. It's like, yeah, so let's kill all our fish or make them completely miserable.
And the corals, too.
And the corals and everything in the tank in the hopes that somehow or another the algae will die back.
Right, which is interesting on its own because we've seen plenty of tanks with tons of algae
yeah.
that have tons of nutrients in their test kit results.
Right.
And we've seen tons of tanks with plenty of algae with
zeros.
No. So I'm not a big fan of thinking that reducing the test result numbers is going to impact your algae at all.
Well, isn't that, again, this is speculation on my part. You might know more about this, but
I do.
God, I love this podcast. Because it's locked up like in the rock, right? So when you're testing it in the water, you may not be getting it the same way that if the algae or the algae spores on the rock, it can pick up those nutrients directly out of the rock.
Sure, maybe. Or they're uptaking them
faster than
you can deal with it.
Yeah.
Then before your tests get it, it's already.
That's usually the explanation I hear a lot of people give.
So, yeah. So, this asks the question, doesn't beg the question because the answer is not contained in the question itself.
Thank you, Professor.
I'm trying not to do that anymore. What do I recommend for algae problems? There's a couple things. If you see it on one rock that you can remove from the tank, remove that rock from the tank.
Okay.
Just scorch the earth. Forget it. Stop trying to battle it in place. If it's a new tank and you're covered in algae, just make it dark for a few days and then bring up your lights slowly to avoid that problem or wait till it cycles and get something in there.
Wait till
those
nutrients go down without the light to grow the algae.
It's not even the algae. It's just... I think that it's got something to do with phase shifting. And once something is phase shifted from a coral-dominated system to an algae-dominated system,
right.
No matter what, you're just fighting this insane battle to try to get it back. So that's why I think when you see a spot of bryopsis, you want to nuke it.
Yeah, you just have to take drastic measures.
And it's not too drastic, I think. It used to feel really drastic, but if there's a rock I can remove, I'm pulling it out. If I can't pull it out, I'm getting a bunch of two-part epoxy, and I'm just covering it and smothering it to death.
Right, right.
That's it. Just stop it before it becomes a bigger problem.
Yeah, that whole covering it with glue and algae, I mean glue and epoxy kind of thing, it's not really ever been my thing, but it's funny because I heard last week, I think, or the week before, Ryan from BRS saying the same thing, which is like, I see that stuff, I just cover it with glue. I mask glue all over it. I don't try to do any other kind of things except just smother it.
It usually stops it. We had a huge patch of it in the big tank at the Academy, and I used... probably a gallon of Z-Spar.
Oh, my gosh.
To cover it. It was, you know, half a square meter that I had to cover. and wiped it out completely.
And then, you know, like within a month, surface algae goes over, and you can't even see it's there.
So that's I think what we think. Stop it before it gets a problem. When we see it, scorch the earth. Make it go away quickly.
But, you know, back to your thread, it is kind of funny that, you know, two things. First of all, you see the same questions, obviously, over and over and over and over again in social media,
yeah.
Right? And then you've got some of the same groups of people that went to their book of answers that they have somehow another read somewhere or think or whatever and just regurgitate them back to people.
Yeah, it's interesting, though, because I remember that part of the hobby, you learn by teaching, right? So you read something, and then now you know something.
Yes.
And that's great. And we get back to the questions, same questions over and over again. That's another interesting one, to me, at least right now. And then I forgot the other part of the thing I was going to say, so clearly okay. I don't care so much.
Oh, nice. Okay. Well, maybe that means it's time to move on from that.
Is it?
Yes.
Okay, let's do that then. What's next?
And I won't say anyways.
You've said it like four times already this episode. It's great. That's why I know you really want me to stop poking at you. You go, anyways.
Okay.
So I was at Aquashella this weekend, last weekend. In Chicago. I think it's the third Aquashella. They've done it in Chicago and then in Dallas and then in Chicago again.
Did you spin any glow sticks?
I was tripping balls. I did not spin glow sticks, but I did walk through the art zone a few times, and it was very blue. They had the glasses that
right.
you wear, and I'm colorblind partially, so it was like, oh, yeah, it's a different tone of the color. I don't know what it is.
It is a very interesting event, and for those people who are listening who have not checked it out, because we're obviously assuming you know what it is, there are a lot of reef keeping shows that are out there. Obviously, Reefapalooza and the Macna show, and then some smaller ones, all
Reefectomy.
Regionals. Very nice.
Reefalini.
Yes. There are tons of different reef-esque kind of names. But this is a particular event that I think they might have started it in Chicago.
They did.
And I went to the Dallas one this year. And it's different in that it's not just saltwater. It's not just reef. It's not even just freshwater. It's, I think, just about everything. It's got shrimp, which is freshwater, I guess. And then these ugly fish with big heads. I don't know what
flower horns.
Okay.
They're awesome.
Yeah. Good. I'm glad you think so.
They're so awesome. They're so stupid.
And then
I love them so much.
Reptiles and everything.
There was a kangaroo at the show.
Yeah. So
which
you,
I thought was
you name it,
probably bad.
It's gonna be at this event.
No.
But it's a cool event because I think it's pointed at the younger crowd, right?
Yeah.
And it gets people excited about fish and they've got these art displays that are all neon Elvis kind of.
There's a lot of art at the show.
Right.
So there's music playing and there's art. Art, there's a lot of artists with reef-related stuff to sell. I should probably do glass there.
You'd probably.
And there's all kinds of artists. Nori Vosen was there.
Uh-huh.
A bunch of other ones were there. It was kind of great. And so there's all this kind of stuff going on.
It's a neat eclectic event, no doubt.
Yeah.
I couldn't make it to this one because we have Reefapalooza coming up in a couple, 3 weeks. So they were just kind of too close together. We would have been there. It was originally scheduled to be in the summer, and we were going to be there, but it got moved, and so we had to bow out. But it was a good event.
It was a great event. It's freshwater and saltwater and other things as well. Not so big on the reptiles, but I think most places have big reptile shows
right.
as well. But it, you know, I've done a couple of aquatic experiences which was the same kind of thing, but without the dubstep,
without the trance,
without the art. You know, it's just more of your standard show. This one is trying to be more. You know,
right?
They had a bucking shark out front.
Oh my goodness!
That we rode. That
oh
was fun.
My goodness!
Raj beat me. So it was a good show, and it's always makes me understand how much different the freshwater side of it is and how much bigger the freshwater side
it's
is.
It's crazy. And they are
huge.
Rabid for their YouTube stars.
They're rabid. Yeah.
Okay.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, they have no.
I was
going
to get to that in a second,
oh, okay.
I think, but
yeah,
I was going to talk more about the show being so cool.
Okay, go ahead.
And so there's shrimp competitions. Right, so people bring the shrimp.
Okay,
they bred.
So tell me this, okay? Because I don't know anything about the shrimp thing. So
yeah.
I know we're doing like a reef podcast, but
well, I think the point of the discussion is there's all this stuff going on the freshwater side, and we do none of it. It may not be transferable, but we don't do it.
It's true. There are some things
and
here
it
that
generates insane amounts of enthusiasm with people. That's kind of the point.
I agree. And I like the risks that they take, and you know that they're putting themselves out there in so many different ways. But the shrimp thing, okay? Yeah. So they have this. I go to China every year, and so there's all these different freshwater things they do there at the CIPS show in China. But the shrimp thing, I never understood. There's a couple things I don't understand. Number one, it's like they're mapping spots on little baby, tiny little shrimp. Yeah. Is that
sure.
the thing?
Yeah, I assume so.
Oh, I thought maybe you knew more about it. Okay.
No, what I know is that I don't really know what's going on. There's some kind of judging going on.
Okay.
And people really care.
Oh, they really care.
No, and it doesn't matter if I know what's going on. All I care about is they're doing something a lot of people seem to really care about.
They care so much they wouldn't allow it to be videotaped.
Yeah.
Okay, that's kind of...
Well, they've got their...
That's a little tinfoil hat-ish there.
Well, I don't know. It depends on what the competition is. I mean, we might be seeing that in some of the designer clownfish breeding.
I don't know. It just seems weird why you wouldn't want somebody to... I mean... You go into some of the freshwater stores too, and even in China, and you take a camera out, and they will like smack you on the head, literally smack you on the head.
I think that's just you.
Oh,
because I've been with you places, and that happens here. I mean, it happened when you walked in the house right now tonight. So,
oh, Rich, man,
it's so they have and the flower horn competition. So people breed these animals at home, and they bring them.
Okay.
And they put them there for the weekend, and they're judged, and there's prizes.
Okay.
That's kind of cool for animals that can take it. We could totally do that with clownfish.
Yeah, you could, absolutely.
You know, would that be exciting for reef people? I don't know. That's the question. And is that the kind of enthusiasm that we want to generate? So there's this idea of enthusiasm for enthusiasm's sake, because the more people are enthusiastic,
okay,
the more people enter the hobby.
Yes.
And that's good. You know, I'm not a big fan of we have to be growing forever or things are bad.
I concur with you there.
But I understand that. So I don't know. And then the other issue I have with it is this could just be me. I could be wrong, right? I'm so wrong. Is the entertainment aspect of it, the sole entertainment aspect, is that a good enough reason to do things?
I think that's kind of a segue into that next article thing that we're going to talk about, which is...
Oh, that's a good point. Which is next on our list anyway.
Yes.
So more about Aquashella. I think good. Germane to that is the YouTubers. So YouTubers are people who constantly make videos about some subject, and then they put it up and millions of people watch it sometimes.
So, but the interesting thing there, and especially I think for our hobby, is in the beginning it's like, oh, I want to share this with people because, you know, I want to share the information and get my name out there, et cetera, et cetera. And it's morphed into I need to have a mega channel.
Well, that's success.
Yeah, depending on how it's defined, yes, I guess. But now it's views at all, you know, at any cost almost.
Yeah, and that's where that was the problem I had with the show Tanked,
right?
Which is I think essentially Tanked could have been on YouTube, not anymore, but
right.
It would have been fine, right?
Yes.
It would have been the same kind of show. And is that good? As we're talking about it now, I wonder is the reason, is our market, the saltwater market, just smaller? And so that, well, but there's, you know, there's a couple of saltwater YouTubers that are pretty big.
Yeah, but as far as YouTubers, saltwater versus freshwater, we're tiny.
Freshwater's massive.
Massive. And if you go look at both the freshwater and saltwater side, there's another Joe, which is Joey Slayem. Okay.
Slam.
Yeah. And
I hope he says it like that every time.
I don't know. But this is a guy who...
Joey, please. Slam!
I mean, it's clearly looking to get views, right?
Yeah.
And doing things that you look at and you're like, oh my goodness, right? I mean, they go outside, they have a pond full of, I don't know, arowanas and all these like really aggressive fish.
And they throw kittens out there.
Nearly. No joke. Nearly. Yeah. The guy's like, oh yeah, just catch a lizard and throw it in. And it's like, oh my God, the poor lizard. And it's like, I know you, the Mr. Cole the Clownfish,
but I don't know. But no, that's different. I'm torn when I was a kid and I had Oscars, I invited some of my friends in the neighborhood to come watch me feed them one time.
Yeah.
Because I was so uncomfortable with the glee they had.
Right.
At, you destroyed that. You know, it's like, right. this is just eating. This is this poor fish.
But, I mean, then it went from that to the, you know, they're buying the largest lobster they can buy out of the live lobster place in Maine, you know, a 40-pound lobster or some ridiculous-sized lobster, and then bringing it in and just all, like, gawking around it and then putting it in a 60-gallon tank and Morton salt and, you know, it's like, what are you doing? And, it's, you know, it's got 800,000 views, 1.2 million views, and you're like,
what to do.
And then on our side, it's going that way a little bit. And, you know, and I love George. I do, right? And he's getting a lot of fame. But, you know, I see some of the octopus videos that he's put out recently, and I see the... You know, we're going to make an aquarium on the beach. And it's all neat and it's fun and it's in good nature, right?
Yeah.
And I can't say whether or not animals are in danger or not. I'm not even making any of those claims. But to some people, I think, from the outside that would see that, it would look like reckless behavior, in my opinion, of people who are trying to keep, you know, animals.
Yeah. And, you know, every time that comes up, I always compare those actions to... actions of people who don't keep animals.
Okay.
And so, you know, talk about, you know, any amount of fish dying in the chain of custody, compare that to the pictures of families with all the fish they caught that day nailed to a board, still gasping behind them,
sure.
put up on
sure.
shot after shot
sure.
after shot. And I kind of go, it's hard for me to want to tell people that you should not make your animals suffer when we're totally fine with all this other stuff.
I think you're missing my point a little bit here.
Oh, good.
Which is, it's not whether or not I care about that animal is not suffering any more or less than the guy who's fishing for one. It's the perception of that to other people who don't necessarily think that way, right? Who do have that difference in feelings, okay? And they're going to be placing judgment on us as a hobby and influencing other people to stop the hobby.
Does the freshwater side have this issue?
I don't know that people care as much. Because it's not in a reef, right? So I think there's...
Oh, and they're not... no one's out there collecting. You don't have that easy, low-hanging fruit of they're bad because they take from the place that I like.
Well, also, it's green water, okay? This is people's emotions, right? You see the reef. You see beautiful fish. You see Jacques Cousteau. You see all of these things, okay? No, I was growing up as a kid, and you look at it, and this is beautiful stuff, right? And it's got an aesthetic.
Not just that nasty lake over there.
It's not that nasty lake, with, you know, or that river or whatever it is with some tetras in it. And I think there's a different feeling about salt water and the corals and bringing corals in and all of that. And when we treat them that way, regardless of, it's more or less ethical than the other thing, it's how everybody else views that. And this is a resource that they feel is being... It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong to me or, you know, that they should or shouldn't feel that way.
Yeah, no, that's a separate...
That's completely different. It's what's the perception? Because my end goal is I still want to be doing this, and I want other people to be doing it because I think there's value in doing it, and I don't want us to be so stupid as to not understand the perceptions of others who will take this away.
Well, okay, because Tank's off the air. People in the industry and the hobby had a problem with Tanked, right?
Right.
I don't think they really ever got any grief from anyone but us. Is that true?
I don't think that the, my personal feeling on the Tank thing is probably a little bit different than yours because we understood what happened after the fact, but it's not necessarily seen to the audiences that way. So most of the people who had a problem in the hobby know what's going to happen after the fact and look at it like we wouldn't want people to keep fish that way because of what could happen.
Okay. There was the skateboard ramp tank. There was the bubblegum tank out in the sun.
I understand, but what I'm trying to say is that the after effects of that, okay, didn't get shown off to people in the way that these things do to people, right? It's clear, okay, that an octopus crawling on the counter or of the lavatory in an airplane is not somebody creating an aquarium in the lavatory of the airplane, right? And so... You know, there were things I think in helping promote the hobby for businesses that the Tanked show did well. And I think as far as promoting good husbandry, it did not do well. But I don't think it had the detrimental effect that could be taken from people who are anti like these other things can.
Well, I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens.
For sure.
Yeah, that's why we want to get ahead of all that stuff.
I'm real big on the perception thing, and we'll talk more about this, I'm sure, on this podcast at some point.
Well, I think at the end.
Yes.
Right, so it looks like... all right, so...
We still got plenty of time here.
So Aquashella was good. It was really interesting to be somewhere where saltwater isn't the gig. It was really interesting that Joey, King of DIY, knew who I was. And I didn't really know who he was. It took me...
Did you really?
It took me about 5 minutes. It took me about 5 minutes to go, okay, this must be Joey from the DIY
guy. Did you ever let that
on
to him? Because that would be funny.
I don't know. I didn't know him well enough the first time I saw him to do that.
Yeah.
And then I went and watched one of his videos and went, okay. He was fine. He was fun. He's crazy.
Yeah,
but it feels to me like we have to be on.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of that. There's a lot of that amped kind of thing. But what's funny is I was starting to say earlier did they have the cards there with all the YouTubers' faces on them and they could sign them?
There was an alley where
and there's an alley and they line up and they take pictures with them. And I was a little creeped out by that.
This is like Comic-Con.
Yeah.
And then I was like, but these people aren't as famous. And then I was like, they are as famous.
They are. When you go and look at their view counts and everything, they absolutely are.
It's amazing.
Yeah. There's no... I mean, again, when you've got some of the most popular people on YouTube are kids opening up GIFs YouTube.
But maybe it's not for... I keep going... I'm not supposed to understand my kid's music.
Right.
Right? It's her music. It's not for me.
Correct. No doubt.
And let's face it, kids have... I was pissed off about this thing about not putting a period at the end of texts because that shows that you're stern or angry. And
really?
I was like, this is the stupidest thing I ever heard. And then I thought about it some more.
I didn't even know this was a thing. Okay, I got to hear about this
then
more.
Then I thought about it some more and I read about it some more. And it was like, oh, they figured out how to communicate the tone in texts.
Right.
They're smarter than us. Because the biggest complaint we get on all of the reefing social media is... It's impossible to understand what you're saying with your tongue.
Right, right.
And they've got it. So the kids are all right, man.
Wow.
They got better. So maybe this YouTube stuff
I learned something today.
Is not for us. They're trying to, some people keep telling me I should do a YouTube channel.
Yeah.
And and I'm resistant to it. And they said, well, you could just be the grumpy guy who hates YouTube channels. I was like, I could do that. But I don't understand it enough right now. I feel like I'd just be trying to imitate them, and I certainly don't want to do that. And also, I certainly don't want to become a slave to having to put up new content.
You know what?
That's a thing.
That's what makes George really good. I'm not trying to just slight the last couple of videos that he did because he's really,
really
good.
You're trying to make up for what you said about the last couple of videos.
Well, no, I just want to make sure it gets said that that it's not left without it. Which is he is really good at what he does. He really understands how to get the right emotion into videos and whatnot. I just, in the last couple of these videos, wish that the content was a little bit different.
Yeah.
That's it. But
yeah. I don't even...
I watch his stuff. He snowboarded with an Apex.
Well, you have to watch it.
Yeah.
And that's number one. We shouldn't talk about Apex because we should keep this podcast and my job separate. Apex.
One time.
Right. Anyway. Oh, look, I did it. I said anyways.
You did.
It should be a drinking game. Every time Terrence says anyways,
we should have lined up here.
The people at home drink.
Yeah.
So you wanted to talk about a paper. You read a paper.
So what was the segue? Because I had a segue from what we were talking about into that. Which,
I don't know.
Oh, okay. So, the whole idea of whether or not we should have fish, right? Is there a reason for us to have fish? Is there, and corals and whatnot, and take these things out of the ocean?
So we're trying to say, is there something to support the thing we love more than just we love it? Can we try to shoehorn this into something else?
Or
that seems more important, that people seem to take more seriously than I love it?
Well, we don't have to shoehorn it. It exists, so we don't recognize
it. Even better.
Right? And I...
Okay. That's the conversation.
Yes, it is. So we'll get to the paper in a second. I'll get the overarching thoughts that I have on this, okay? Oh, what is that one?
I don't know.
Oh, okay, there you go. That wasn't really apropos.
No, but that's the only button I press on that board.
anyway, so...
Look.
So the thing I'm trying to say is that the bigger... We went to MACNA.
We did.
And when we went to Macton, we saw Vincent talk about we need to make sure that we're fighting for this hobby if we want to see it stay around. And there was a whole bunch of things he put on the...
Yeah, and specifically he said that the way I phrase it, he didn't phrase it this way, is the people who have skin in the game have got to fight for this hobby. We all have to do it, and the people who are... The businesses really have to do it. He made a call out straight to that, which is why
that was one of the things.
Seriously.
Yes, that was one of the things, and that is one of the reasons that I did listen and take it seriously. But one of the things I thought was completely missing, because he was pointing out what we're not doing and what the other guys are doing really well against us, and I felt the thing that was really missing out of what he had was there was no reason to keep an aquarium. Okay, so if you're going to talk to somebody about we're going to take stuff. And he talked about the woman who went, the ministry's woman from Indonesia who had to go to her talk in Europe. And they're like, well, you're just ripping stuff out of the ocean. She had no answer to it. And if we're going to keep fish and corals and have these things, and we don't want people to define for us that we're keeping living furniture for our own vanity, we have to be the ones who come out and say, this is why it's important, okay? And there's going to be people like you who are going to say, and I'm going to put the words in your mouth, okay?
Awesome.
Because you're going to get your chance. You're just about ready to eat the microphone.
I'm chewing.
I know. But they're going to say, well, we can't say anything unless we have the facts to back it up.
That's not what I was going to say.
But good. Okay. Because I've heard you say that before, so I just want to... Okay.
Can I say what I was going to say, or you want to finish?
Go ahead.
Because now you don't know what you were saying
anymore. No, I do. It's fine.
No,
go ahead.
Finish. Go ahead. I'll remember mine.
So perception...
There's no way I'll remember.
Perception is everything to me in the beginning to make sure people understand that there has to be a reason that these things exist, and that, I mean, aside from us treating them right and where the stuff comes from and everything, why does it exist? This article is an article about a paper, more or less.
I forget the word. There's a word for this kind of paper.
Okay.
A review paper.
Anyways, The Art of Aquarium Keeping communicates science and conservation, and I forget who was it by again?
It's Liz.
Liz, okay.
I can never pronounce her last name.
Anyway, it goes in and says, hey, there are real things that come out of this. For instance, you get to learn the scientific method, and people appreciate nature more and want to preserve nature more. And there's these tangible things that come out of keeping aquariums. And this is really good. We need more of this.
Okay.
Go.
I don't think I agree. Okay. I kind of agree. But I think the problem is when we try to tell other people why this is good for us, it falls flat, right? But more importantly, any other hobby, almost every other hobby, no one asks that kind of question, right? So arguably, somebody who has a 30-gallon cube tank in their house with a few fish and a few corals in it is impacting the world a lot less than people who go out on their quad bikes every weekend and tear through the wilderness. So, but no one says perception is everything to them, do they?
No, because they don't. So, I get what you're saying, and you're spot on factually that this is that they're absolutely tearing up the environment more. There's more, and they don't have to defend it nearly as much as we do. Again, I'm going to go back to, these are beautiful fish in the beautiful ocean that is endangered every day, and we're ripping these things out of there, and the only reason we're ripping them out of there is so somebody can have pretty furniture in their room. What is the other reason to do that? These are living creatures. These are,
okay.
You know, it goes beyond that of other hobbies. If I fly radio control, okay?
Yeah.
I killed some balsa from balsa wood trees. I've got some other things that happen, but I'm not going out.
You're propping up the DJI machine, which is going
right.
to make it so people spy on your house and deliver
whatever,
porn
but I'm
to
not
your
go- I'm not
window.
Going out and yanking, you know, beautiful fish and corals out
no,
of the
you're,
ocean
you're
that everybody's telling
waste
me
into the watershed.
That everybody, but that's not the comparison people are going to make. They're not going to look at that. They're looking at us pulling out what we're saying is getting bleached and is dying. This is their only perception.
Exactly. So here's the choice. Do you tell them that that perception is off, or do you play their game and try to tell them why what they're really saying doesn't matter.
You tell them if this doesn't exist, it has a negative, because it does have a negative impact. And when you said, I don't want to defend us, I don't want to defend me keeping one necessarily on the individual basis, or even you and me keeping one. But as a collective, there are things that come out of this collectively that are positive and that will go away. And there are a number of them, right? And I don't need to get into all of them right here, but one of them is what was in this article,
yeah,
right? Others might be, hey, you know what? The small little island nation out in the middle of the Pacific, well, they might tend to their island and nature around their island a lot better if they're getting paid to do it and can feed their families than if they're not, and right, China comes along and says, hey, can you fin some sharks for us?
Right. So what's the thing, I'm going to let you say it, from the article, from the paper that is
so
good. What is good about this tank
what
stuff?
What is good is it brings more awareness to people about the environment, makes them want to be more aware of what's going on in the environment. It brings them science to their living rooms, which we hear all the time from people who, you know, say, we need more science, we need more science, we need more science. Those same people might be on the other side of us.
Yes. So this is what people at large are missing. Is that, and I read this paper before you said that we were going to talk about this, so I have notes all in the paper, right? And it, this is the science that people don't get enough anymore, which is the lab bench, hands-on
exactly.
science.
Yes.
And when you get a tank, when you get your first tank, you got to learn all kinds of sciencey stuff to be able to make it work. And that's one of the issues I have with growing the hobby huge, because then it becomes recipes and you don't need to do anything.
Right, right, right.
And you lose some of that thing that
kind
I
of,
think is so
yeah.
sexy that
sure.
you know the but you know you need to learn what a titration test is and how to do it and why it matters that you do it the same way. You get to learn about the nitrogen cycle, you learn about how the air gas interchange between the surface
you just learn
of the water.
An experiment
you just learn yeah
you learn an experiment even when you don't even you go you know I didn't even really like biology class, right? Because it's taught in this rote way or whatever.
Right, but this is
And you do an experiment on your tank. You don't even know you're doing these an experiment, right?
Yeah.
Hey, I think this might happen. Oh, let me try doing this. Oh, what did I observe? You know, you learn the scientific method without even looking at a book. And I think
yeah.
the more we can explain that to people is it provable? Well, maybe there's a little thing in here that she did some, you know, some surveys and whatnot. Great.
No, it's a good. It's
but
a
it's
good,
a story,
it's a good paper.
And these are the stories that have to get out there, because those are the stories that when people think
okay.
about it going away,
I gotcha.
They're going to lose that.
Okay, I think then I think maybe what I was reacting to before is what people tend to do is talk about that their hobby being educational beyond them.
Oh, okay.
And that was one of the pushes a while ago, was that, you know, my tank is educational because, you know, everyone who comes into my house asks questions about the tank. And it's like,
but that's superficial.
Not really. But for the person keeping the tank.
Correct.
It's a degree. If you do this for more than 2 years, you've learned some stuff.
But the part that does come from that person is the ability to influence others. So if they are more aware of science and more aware of the environment and the things that are happening in the environment and how fish work and how corals work and all of this, they influence their circle, even the circle
yeah,
that does not have you know, fish and corals in their house.
Yeah.
And I think that the people that we will be collectively fighting on the other side that might want to get rid of this in our house, those are the kinds of arguments that will work with them.
Okay. And we clean up everything that they can point to.
Absolutely.
Okay, great.
It's not one or the other, but I do believe that we focus way too much on that over the perception, because the reason the others win is they win on perception and emotion. They don't win on science.
But they're not, they don't, are they winning?
Oh, they are winning.
Sometimes they're winning.
Oh, no, they're winning.
Sometimes they're winning. Are they? Meh. Okay.
Yeah, they are winning, and I think Vincent is absolutely correct that we are in peril. As far as keeping these in our house, and it may be some, you know, heavy booted thugs that come in and pull them out of, you know, little Amy's house point.
I don't think that's a long exaggeration,
yeah,
but I think they could stop wild collection, which I can understand. But as long as you can keep a dog in your house, I don't see how anybody could claim you can't keep a fish in your house. But they might take your dog away too.
Yeah, well, there's a lot of work on that, too.
We should absolutely get rid of feral cats. Outdoor cats are the worst thing ever.
Yes, they are.
I like this paper, and I like that idea. And I think we do need to... I think the reason why we focus more on cleaning up things that are bad in the industry is, or at least the reason I want to be proud of the industry.
Sure.
I want to be proud of it. I want to be able to stand up and go, this is good. And if I can't do that, I kind of feel a little false going, but look what I learned.
Right.
And it's like, well, okay.
The trade-off? Yeah.
And so I want both.
All right. Well, this is definitely, I think this is a topic I want us to continue to talk about in this podcast, because I do believe it's one of the most important things, topics in our hobby right now and going forward for a number of years to keep us to be able to do this.
Great. I think let's keep talking about it. And the 12 people who are listening.
It's more than 12 now. And that is a good point. For those of you that are listening, and we are getting some feedback now and questions and whatnot, do go out to the Facebook page. Leave us your thoughts. Leave us your prayers. Leave us,
and we'll just ignore them.
Yeah, most importantly, give us content by asking us questions. And with that in mind, we do have a few questions here.
Wow, you are so good at the segue.
I love it.
You are so good. Let's.
Yeah, who's you want to take? You pick one.
I'm going to pick one right now. Okay, from Matt Giles. How do you make usable size chunks of frozen food? You've got a big 16 or 20 ounce flat of frozen food. How do you do it? You know, do you cut
First of all, I hate these things, okay? I hate the packaging to death.
Why?
I love the food that I use.
Why do you hate the packaging?
I use LRS food, and I love the food.
It's all the same kind of packaging. Tell me why you hate it.
Because I have to cut it up, okay, and into little squares.
I'm going to fix this.
Okay, he's going to fix this. This is a great setup.
Look deep into my eyes and tell me the things that you're soon to be wrong about.
and first of all, I can't get the Ziploc open without tearing it.
I'm going to fix that too.
Okay. And so I have to do that. And then I'm like, I've been told, okay, just break off a piece. Just break off a piece every time you need it. And then it breaks off in weird chunks and I got to stick my hand in there. So I inevitably tear the thing open. I take a big chef's knife, right? And I just chop it into about 1.5 inch squares, put them back into a Ziploc and throw them into the freezer. So that's my method. I hate it.
It's terrible.
Tell me
I can't. How do you get through a day when you have to do that?
Well, it's not every day. But
okay. So
I'm waiting for the
solution. I'm hoping I have a heart attack now and no one will ever know unless you go look in my freezer what I do. First of all, you know that the bags are going to be annoying, right?
Correct.
So don't even pretend like you're going to use the bag. Get yourself a Tupperware freezer.
Okay.
Box, right? I have two of them, right?
Okay.
Then don't put this fish food on your cutting board and use a knife to cut it up. While it's sealed in the pack, smack it against the counter a whole bunch of times till it breaks up into the size chunks that you think you want to use.
And it doesn't split the seam on it and,
don't go
all over your kitchen.
You can't, you know, drive the spike of the railroad with a sledgehammer, but you smack it, you'll get a feel for it. I think maybe once I had one break, and it's not that big a deal. Because who cares if it breaks open on your counter? Before, you were like using a knife in your counter and your cutting
board
seafood. And having seafood. Well, so who cares if it breaks on your counter either?
I don't care about the counter. I just want it all over the floor and everywhere else.
No, it explodes all over the place. Don't hit it that hard. I just did it today.
Right.
I should have waited for you.
Okay.
And then you open it or you rip it open and you pour it and it goes clink, 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 clink. I can go get it right now and show you. I'm going to go get
it right now. I believe you. I believe you.
You hold this show for 12 seconds without me.
Okay. So while Rich is going to get his frozen food, we will be talking about whether or not frozen food is absolutely necessary in your aquarium or you can use pellet food or flake food and next what the preferences are. Okay, here he comes back. He has I love those containers.
Though, right?
That's a Costco. That is another episode that we're going to talk about, the flake and pellet.
So this is my Calinus. PE Calinus.
Okay.
Nuri.
Oh, okay.
You should sponsor us. So there.
Okay.
So you can see some of the fractures on there still, right? So
yes.
These will pop apart.
Those
smaller.
Those I think break apart easier than the LRS.
Make me go get the LRS and the
I need
Hakari
to get some
Mises.
Of that. That stuff is good stuff. I didn't know they had that stuff.
That's all for the
And it comes frozen like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it comes in the big flats. You go pap 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 pap. It breaks up.
You get that from local fish store, or they send it to you from directly from the PE guys?
I have it ordered because I buy a bunch of it.
Okay.
And also, I worry about frozen food thawing in transit.
Right.
But I'm telling you, the LRS breaks up like this.
Okay.
The Herkari mysis, the PE mysis, it all breaks up like that. And then
so
you're
Larry,
done and you're easy. You don't have to mess with anything. Now, you don't have perfect size cubes.
Right.
Right? But I don't think, from what I hear about people struggling cutting up frozen things with a knife on their counter, they're getting really good sized chunks anyway.
Mine are pretty uniform. So I'll tell you what.
Well, the
only reason
do that.
I can feed,
I think you should get a laser cutter and a CNC machine.
I can feed this way. I can't tell other people to feed this way. That's
Why?
The only difference. Because they're like, how much do I put in?
The right amount. That's the right answer. There's no...
All right, go put your food back in the freezer before
so
it melts.
There's no recipe for how much you should feed. That's your crazy
pants. Okay. There's no recipe for how much to feed. Feed as much as you want into your reef tank, ladies and gentlemen. That's what Rich just said just now. Don't worry about nutrients in your tank. Just keep adding and adding and adding. And do it 3 to 6 times a day. And everything will
be
good.
You heard it here first. Whatever Terrence just said must be true.
Oh, my gosh. All right, let's take another question.
All right, you pick it.
Let's see. This is a more philosophical. I don't know if it's philosophical, but Mark Callahan's. Let's talk.
Mark Callahan,
Mr. Saltwater Tank. Okay.
Should also be a sponsor of this podcast.
Yes. Yes, he should.
I like how I said podcast. I let the whole let that back half of the word disappear. Podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast.
Very bougie.
What did Mark say?
Mark said,
He was at Aquashella.
Yes, he was. How can the average hobbyist, whatever that means, tell good info from bad?
I smell like a
Calinus.
Calinus now. That's really awesome.
Oh. Wipe it on your pants.
No, it's good.
Please do not do the smell my finger.
So Terrence, how can the average hobbyist tell good info from bad?
I can tell you how I do it. First and foremost, okay? So when I do rarely give a talk at an event, one of the first things I do is show people what my tank looks like right now. So if I'm taking advice from somebody, I first want to know they know what they're talking about. And the way I know what they're talking about is not that they knew how to keep an aquarium 10 years ago and they wrote a book 10 years ago, which is great. Information might all still be the same. But right now, today, what does their tank look like? Because if they keep an awesome-looking tank, and it's somewhat like the tank I want, then the chance that the information they're going to give me is good is much better. So that's the kind of the first thing.
Yeah, okay. I used to say, you know, find a person whose tank you want your tank to be like and do what they say.
Absolutely. It's a very similar thing to what I'm saying, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Whether it's true or not is another question, but you're more likely to get the same kind of result.
Yes.
Yeah.
And yeah, if you're going to pick and choose from different people's pieces of advice, do so at your own peril, because they have much more chance of not being cross-compatible, right, than just doing all of what that person says. It may not turn out this, you know, great, and using three people's information still might turn out great, but again, if you're playing the odds.
Right. And if they show you a picture of a tank you don't like, there's so many.
Oh my gosh.
Don't do what they say.
You know, one of the hardest things is to, you know, because everybody's proud of their aquarium, and I love it. And everybody's aquarium is special in its own right. Okay.
I use Snowflake. You used a good aquarium.
Don't tell me somebody goes, oh man, check out my tank. And they open up their phone and you see this aquarium and you're like, oh my God.
Oh, dude. You go on threads that have got, you know, 400 pages, and then you look at the tank and you go, why are we talking about this tank?
Exactly. But
somebody loves that tank, and that's fine. But it's like,
but that's easy.
That doesn't seem like the goal of most people is to have a tank with some gargonians
and
some rocks.
When you're at home, okay, buddy, it's easy because you can just like go to the next thread.
You can go to the next thread. Have you seen? Do you know me?
But come on, if you're in an event or you're meeting somebody face to face, and they
great.
Open that up, and you're like. You know, you don't want to, because they'll take you to being an ass, okay, if you say anything at all, even if it's helpful.
Well, it's their tank, right? I have no idea what people think of my tank.
Right.
But it's not for them.
No doubt.
Right? So I guess there is that.
There's
too.
No doubt. But
when you're talking about taking advice from somebody.
For sure.
And, you know, and of course, you know, And how long have you been doing this? 6 months.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
All right. I'm going very good. I'm going to be very squinty and look at you when you can listen to their advice, but you want to really run that through somebody else.
Yes.
Because it's fresh advice. Then also old advice is the same thing. You want to, what do people think about that now? Because
right.
It can change.
Yeah. I mean, how many devices, how many things, how many treatments? I mean, you know way more than I do. You've been in this a lot longer than
yeah,
I
there's
have.
A Skeptical Reef Keeping article about this, actually.
Plug.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Maybe Richard Ross, can you sponsor this podcast? and it's the other thing that I thought of that is helpful in this is find somebody you trust
right.
that you can send questions to or ask questions to.
Yeah, you build.
And they could be wrong, but
a mentor.
You need to know that they're. A mentor is great too. That's a little more than I'm thinking. It's just.
Okay.
You know, if I have a question about chemistry, I know who I'm going to ask.
Ah, okay.
If I have a question about.
Subject matter experts.
Lighting, I'm going to ask them a question. Yeah, but there could also be your general question.
Okay.
You know, so. Yeah, we're saying the same kind of thing.
Okay.
Which is boring for the podcast. We're supposed to disagree. You're wrong, Terrence.
No, people like us anyway.
Do they?
We
no,
disagree.
They don't. No one likes us.
They do. They're saying nice things.
Joey King of DIY.
I don't know. There hasn't been a single person yet that said a really like horrible thing, which concerns me.
Because you asked them at a show to your face. You say, what do you think of this podcast?
Yeah.
There's one more thing from Aquashella that I have to mention before we close up this podcast is Jason Langer was there. You know Jason?
Yes, I do. Master of the cookies, right?
Master of the cookies. He makes these incredible,
amazing,
realistic marine animal cookies.
And they taste good, too.
He's recently started painting.
Really?
And he's a phenomenal painter.
Pointillism?
Planalism?
No, pointillism.
Pointillism?
You know, dots.
No.
Well, because he does that with the fish.
It's not Sunday in the
so
park
like
with George. No. It's he's been making these reclaimed wood paintings.
Okay.
And he did one of a Harlequin tusk that's photorealistic and awesome.
Really?
And he was at Aquashella to see can he sell stuff, and he's got some really good ideas because he can sell cookies and his art.
Right.
Damn. And I told him he's got to make arowana cookies.
Well,
for the freshwater
guys, there's much more. Or the stupid big-headed goldfish.
Flowerhorn. It's not, dude, you can't call other people's passion stupid because yours is stupid, too.
This is where we get the controversial stuff
is
in.
Is it really? I think it's just stupid. Anyway, so we're at dinner, and Jason says, stay here. I got something for you. Because at a Macna a couple years ago, he brought me a larger Pacific striped octopus cookie, and I lost my mind. First of all, that someone would think of me. At all is
right.
always amazing to me that they would actually act and follow through on bringing me something that they made themselves.
He's totally cool.
He gave me two of them, and they were so delicious, and they were awesome. They
right.
were great. So he comes with this big thing in a box, and I cut it open, and he's taken a picture of the LPS, of the larger Pacific striped octopus mating. They mate face-to-face.
Okay.
So they call it kissing.
Do they like lock
beaks or
something?
We call it kissing. We don't know what goes on inside there. I haven't put an endoscope in there to really do the hardcore porn. I just kind of do the softcore porn with the cephalopods. And now the corals. That's all. I'm just a pornographer of the ocean.
Okay.
And so he's taken this and he cuts out the general shape of it.
Okay.
And then he paints. He fills
what
it
he
in
sees
with paint.
In the photo.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's hyper realistic. So I've got this. This incredibly, it's like 2 feet by 2 feet of
That's
the
awesome.
Octopus's mating that he did himself and brought to me
How
at the
cool
show.
Is that?
And it's fantastic, and I'm going to find a really nice spot.
Yeah, when
for
I
it.
Spoke in Minnesota, he made me cookies too. It was like the coolest thing.
He didn't make you a wood thing.
No.
So maybe he'll make you like a PM2 cookie.
Oh my God. That'd be horrible.
But a funny thing was he said, I don't, you know, because it's octopus is having sex. You
right.
call it kissing all you want, right?
Yes.
And he said, I don't know. Is this going to be okay with your family? I said, oh, no. We've got a picture in our bedroom of the lesser Pacific striped octopuses having sex. Oh. So this is going to go very well in our house. So Jason, if you're listening, thank you so much for thinking about me and for making me stuff. It makes me so happy and makes me feel so good. It's much appreciated.
We have a lot of cool people in this hobby, no doubt.
We really do.
No doubt.
Really do. And right. On that note,
I think that's a good way to
that's
close
a good
down.
Thing. So like us and stuff. We were pretty heavy on that last week. Share it. Like, I mean, I guess it does make a difference. Anyway,
listen to the podcast. Tell your friends about the podcast. Share the podcast with your friends with the little share button on the on whichever podcast place you listen from, and get the word around because we're having fun doing this.
Yeah.
And we think that we're benefiting the hobby in our discussions, obviously, or we wouldn't be doing it. Well,
we're benefiting
still would.
Our hobby.
I'm
so down on myself. I
know.
It.
It's fun.
See, that's why I can't be a YouTuber, because I don't want to walk out and go, hey, you know who I am. You should listen to me.
And on that note, this is
the Skimmate.
Skimmate.
We'll
podcast.
See you soon. That was fun. I like talking over the outro too.
Yeah, no doubt. This is a good episode. I think we talked about some stuff people want to hear about.
I like the ethics stuff.
Yeah.
Because that's what's interesting to you and I, so
right.
It's interesting
we get into
to
it.
You and I.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
And the dogs. I guess the dogs went to sleep. There's no dogs coming down here right
no
now.
No killing of dogs in this episode.
No, there was no killing of dogs. Was there the threat?
As far as
dogs?
People know.
Sweet.